The exam day will come sooner than you think. And let's go over just a few things to help prepare what you should expect during the exam. Well, you'll probably be given directions from ASQ or from your local section or from the conference that you're attending as to where the exam is going to be. A good idea is to go find this building or the location of the conference room the day prior, so you have no worries about finding it in the morning. For me, it was finding a good cup of coffee in the morning rather than trying to track down an address. So do the logistics and the basics of getting a good night's sleep, finding the location, having all of your material ready to go, and so on. The exam itself is separate from the course, obviously, and it's through the American Society for Quality. So go to ASQ.org and sign up for the exam directly. And I believe during that process, you'll have the option to say where you plan on taking the exam. It's offered twice a year through local sections, so there should be the possibility to take the exam where you're located, in primarily in the U.S. and Canada and Mexico. I think there's local sections in most cities or most regions, but there's also a handful of conferences that offers the exam, and there's a calendar which I'll provide a link to in the lesson. It's 4 hours. And it's often been described as a time crunch. Many people run out of time before they finish the exam. Now, it's 150 questions, so that gives you a little less than 2 minutes per question. And as you know, some of the problems we're going to face will take 5 to 10 minutes. And that's even when you really know the material, you know exactly what to do. The vast majority of the questions, though, should take 20 to 30 seconds. And it's a matter of pacing yourself and managing being able to focus for the 4 hours. You know, standing up and stretching, taking a short break, drinking plenty of water, all of those things can help, but each person approaches this kind of exam a little bit differently. Now, I'm going to make a quick note on a calculator and the notes and references you can bring into the exam. It's open book, but it's not open web. So an iPhone, for example, has web access and won't be allowed in the exam room. And even though the iPhone has a great calculator set of apps on it, it's not going to be allowed for the exam. So one of the things that's tripped up a couple of students of mine in the past is that they practiced using Excel or they practiced using their phone. And on exam day, they brought in a calculator that would be allowed into the exam room. Now, it's a basic calculator that does not have alphanumeric characters. So basically, you can't do a search or you can't write programs on it. It's those basic kinds of calculators. There's a gray area on whether graphing calculators are allowed or not. Better be safe than sorry and get one that's on their approved list. The other part is the notes. You can bring in handwritten notes. You can bring in books and references and binders of material. And there's a limit, though. In my own experience, I saw a person next to me that she had a whole pallet full of materials. She brought in a dolly that was loaded with 4 boxes of book boxes that had essentially a pretty good library. She spent more time sorting and shifting all of that material to find the book that she was looking for than actually answering questions. I don't know how she did on the exam, but she sure got a workout moving all that material around throughout the exam. I recommend that you only take the references that you really need. The CRE primer from the Quality Council of Indiana is my primary, most recommended reference. It is basically a compilation of material from a wide array of references that goes through the body of knowledge in some detail. Now, for this course, I highly recommend that you get a copy of the CRE primer and use it as you work through the questions and problems in the course and get used to using it to find information. Become very familiar with it. Another really good book is by Pat O'Connor and Andre Kleiner, and it's the 5th edition of Practical Reliability Engineering. This book you should have on your desk whether you're planning to take the CRE or not. It's a pretty decent handbook and covers a wide range of topics and information, and it explains it in a succinct way. But if you're just looking for a quick formula and you know that you can find it in that book, say the reliability function for the Weibull distribution, it's in there. The Durand's Quality Handbook is a massive tome. I forgot what edition it's up to at this point. But it has all of those quality elements, so statistical process control and lot sampling, a design of experiments, and a wide range of other topics. It's the primary reference for the Certified Quality Engineer's exam, but it's also a very good handy reference for our CRE exam. Now, the last reference I have for you is a good statistics book and a data analysis book. Now, the one I used is from the course I took during graduate school on data analysis. But it covered hypothesis testing, confidence intervals, design of experiments. It covered control charts and a variety of other topics in dealing with statistics. Also had a really good probability area or section. I don't have a specific reference because I think it's very important that you're very familiar with the book. So if you've taken a good stats course in the past, use that book because you should be familiar with it already. There's a lot of material in statistics, and being familiar with your references is a key to quickly finding what you need to answer questions. Now, as you go through the exam, we've learned over the years that there's a couple of things you can do to help yourself. The first one is remember that it's 150 questions and it's only 4 hours. So answer the easy ones first. So build up your confidence, knock off the ones you know, and move on. Indicate which ones you got to come back to, but save the ones that are going to take more time until you've answered as many as you can quickly. Then go back and do the research and look something up. If you know exactly where the formula is, you can do that very quickly and get that calculation moving and solve that problem. But if it's going to take research, if it's an area that you know absolutely nothing about and you're not even sure where to find an answer, well, save that one for a little bit later. Now, we can say this, and it makes sense to approach the test in this regard because there's no penalty for wrong answers. So as you work the ones you know, and then work the ones that you can find answers quickly, that leaves a handful of questions that you just don't have a really good approach for, you don't have an answer for. Guess. In the last couple minutes, the proctor should give you, a 5 or a 10 minute warning, and at that point, fill in the rest of the answers. There's no penalty for the wrong answers, and leaving it blank is the only way to be guaranteed that you get it wrong. Now, the bottom line, though, is that as you go through this course and as you work the quizzes or you work sample exam problems, the idea is that you practice finding the information. So part of this, you're going to just know. Some of this stuff that you're going to know the answer for and you can answer it immediately. Others, you're going to need to look up terms or you're going to need to find a formula, for example, to double check that you have all of the subscripts in the right order. Well, practice finding it. Whether you use tabs or markers or an index approach or whatever your approach is use the materials you plan on using during the exam so you become very proficient at using them. One of the ideas one of the students brought up some years ago was to create a definitions or a glossary or a formula reference. And by going through the homework and writing down and on your own notebook, for example, or your own work paper, type up your own references, is you can create a glossary of all the very common or go-to types of things. One of the intents of this course is to provide a starter pack, basically, for the definitions and formulas. Leave plenty of room, though. My plan is to leave plenty of room there so that you can add the words and the formulas that you find that you need as you work through and prepare for the exam. Now, throughout the course, you're going to see this slide or similar slide with this orange background. And most of the time, it's just to prompt me to ask you if you have any questions, but also it's to ask yourself, sometimes rhetorically, do you have any questions? Is there areas you need more information on? And what are you going to do to go find it? Whether it's ask me or one of the other students. But it also is a prompt to check in on your learning. Are you getting what you need to master the particular set of material? So look for this orange screen as it comes up throughout the course as a reminder to make sure that you're getting everything you need in order to cover the material and master it. In the next lesson, we'll look at the process of preparing. Mm-hmm.